Good morning. We're back. 9:20. My name is Dablo here in my radio hut right here on Dakota Avenue. Coming to you live. Once a month, we do our Make-A-Wish Mondays, the second Monday of each month. And it's always a pleasure to talk with this lady. Billie Jo Zielinski, president and CEO of Make-A-Wish North Dakota, is on the phone with me this morning. Billie, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. I've missed you.
I missed you a lot. And happy new year to you and the Make-A-Wish crew.
Yes, happy new year to you. I hope you and yours had a wonderful holiday season.
Same, right back at you. Say, listen, today we're going to talk about the important role that volunteers play in basically with Make-A-Wish, life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. And, okay, my first question, Billie, is a two-parter. Number one, can you share what Make-A-Wish North Dakota accomplished last year, 2025? And then how did the volunteers play a role in that success?
You bet. So we were, you know, again, I think I've started our conversation like this before, but I wish we didn't have to exist. That right. would mean there were wishes for, but we were able to get some new data that helped us understand who we may be missing when we are looking to grant wishes to children with critical illnesses. We had had a static number for many years, about 50 children each year were diagnosed in North Dakota. But now we know, after new data that became available at the beginning of last year, that 66 is our average number that may be eligible for a wish because of a diagnosis that they have received. So we have been laser focused on making sure that we can educate our medical professionals in particular about how to refer, because we depend on referrals to make those wishes happen. And I'm proud to say, again, it's kind of a catch-22, if you will, but we had been getting about 40, 50 referrals a year. Last year, Bill, 91 wishes we Whoa. Were able to our 91 referrals we were able to receive. And so that means we have more wishes than ever that we are going to be granting. So that's number one. Then we also celebrated our 40th anniversary all of last year. So thanks for you being a part of that and amplifying our mission to Wahpeton, Breckenridge area and beyond. And then we granted 57 wishes of those 91 referrals and more. Mm-hmm. And so we've been, you know, plugging along, doing our best. And we also refreshed our space. So we're looking forward to having a ribbon cutting actually today with our local chamber to celebrate not only the refreshed wishing place, but it's also what we do inside these walls, right, is making sure that we can create those life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses.
Well, and you mentioned children with critical illnesses. I mean, that is such a dark cloud, and you are such a silver lining with Make-A-Wish North Dakota. And from your perspective as CEO, and let's get back to the volunteers for a second.
Yes.
Why are they so essential to the Make-A-Wish mission, Billie?
Absolutely. So we cannot do what we do without them. And I should have said every part of that included volunteers. If it's from our events, we depend on a volunteer committee to help us run our Wine and Wishes here in Fargo or our World of Wishes in Bismarck or local events. Fundraising volunteers are very key because more money, more mission. The other thing is mission. We cannot grant wishes with the small and mighty team that we have. We depend on over 150 wish-granting volunteers, and these are uniquely trained volunteers like Casey Feuder in your area and Amy, who sit down and visit with the family and discover what would really bring the child the hope and strength they need in a dark time. Absolutely. When you receive a diagnosis, Bill, it is a dark time. You are getting told no a lot. You can't do this. You can't have a sleepover. You can't play basketball, whatever it may be. And we hope to have them get to yes. And those volunteers are critical. They discover the wish, what it might be. Then they get to reveal what the wish is for that child. It's a happy, joyful part of our wish experience.
Billie, you got so many success stories, and this might be a tough question to pick just one, but can you cite me an example of how a volunteer's involvement actually transformed a wish experience to a child or their family?
Yeah, I mean, I think that our, you know, this was a while back. It was like 2015. So it's been a decade, but I have to say it's just one that really sticks with me. And it's one that I reflected upon during the holiday season. So Wish Kid Keaton had cystic fibrosis, and many a time had he spent in the children's hospital at that time on Broadway at Sanford. And what he wanted to be, Bill, he wanted to give his wish. He wanted to become Santa Claus.
Wow.
And deliver gifts and candy to kids in the hospital. And the volunteers went above and beyond. Not only did they work, we work with Macy's to create a winter wonderland and give him his own Santa suit, but all along Broadway, they called the troops, and all these businesses were waving signs saying, Happy Wish Day, Keaton. Even the Fargo Marquee had Happy Wish Day, Keaton. And then when he got to the hospital, those volunteers walked side by side, giving, you know, with his elves who were giving toys to kiddos. But he even stopped and sat and read a book to a little girl. I mean, he was such a remarkable kiddo. Now, he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but his star still shines brightly in our hearts. And it's important for us to recognize, while it may not always be a last wish, it is a lasting wish. And that's one that really is near and dear to me.
Boy, I guess it's hard. It's hard to listen to that with a dry eye. What an amazing story about a young man where his wish was granting other people's wishes. I mean, that
right.
is just so, I think it is just so typical of what you do at Make-A-Wish. So what is the first step? If people are listening to this and they're thinking, you know, this is something I want to be a part of, I want to volunteer, how did they get that started?
Yeah, because bringing joy to others brings you joy. So I could see where, and we're also in that time of resolutions and new goals for the year. So absolutely, if you're interested, if you know, I mean, Casey or Amy or all the other volunteers who are in the area, or contact our website. You can just go to wish.org/North Dakota, and it's right on the top there, get involved. And it talks about how you could learn to be a volunteer and take those, kind of read a little bit about it. You can watch and follow us socially, see some of the stories that we put out on our social media. And if that still, you know, is like, yeah, I want to give some time, we're looking like 2 to maybe 4 hours a month. It's not a large commitment. You can be whatever you want it to be, right?
Right.
And yeah, so I think then it's a matter of putting in an application, then having an interview with one of our team members, and then taking some additional training if you're going to do that special wish grantor training in particular. And then we kind of make sure that you're partnered with a veteran wish grantor or another volunteer who could take you under the wings and help mentor. I mean, we want this to be not only good for us, but we want to make sure that you're getting what you wanted to get out of this as a volunteer as well.
Without question. I've got Casey coming in next week. So Make-A-Wish North Dakota is going to get a lot of coverage. Billy Joe Zielinski, President, CEO of Make-A-Wish North Dakota. You are absolutely one of our favorite people here on the morning show. And
I
look forward to our conversation next month, okay?
All right. You take good care. Thank you so much.
You bet. Billy Joe Zielinski sharing her thoughts and insights. If the conversation today inspired you to make a difference, again, I'm going to repeat this, wish.org/North Dakota, all one word, and join the Make-A-Wish community. We talk with our friends from Make-A-Wish North Dakota, second Monday of each month here, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Agriculture policy analysts say 2026 could mark the end of the traditional five-year U.S. Farm Bill era as lawmakers struggle to produce comprehensive legislation.